Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio. Every week, Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller interviews CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now, your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Federal Chief Information Officer Steve Enrockel. Steve, in some ways this is a return engagement for you on the show. In some ways this is the first time. I think the times you've been on the show before has really been either part of a press conference or part of other kind of one-on-ones we've done in the hallway after a hearing. So really appreciate the fact you could sit down here in the White House and talk a little IT.
Great. Thank you, Jason, and glad to sit down with you again.
All right, so there's a lot to cover, so I got to start at the beginning, right? Smarter IT delivery agenda. I think that in many ways it was a rough year for federal IT. It's been a rough few years when you talk about the budget, but with some of the things happening around some projects that didn't go as well as you hoped and then a lot of pressure on Capitol Hill to make changes, it seems to me that the smarter IT delivery agenda really came from a lot of these pressures that you've seen, and it seems also to be related to the 25-point plan and some of the other initiatives of the administration. So let's talk about some short-term goals of the program. People can find the full what the program is going to cover in the watershed on our website, but and your website too, which we'll link to. So just give me the short-term goals.
Well, let me start actually by going back a little bit, because federal IT and reforming the way we do IT in government has been a bit of a journey. You know, when we first started and came into this administration, it was really around first stemming the growth in spend around IT. We were growing federal IT spending prior to 2009 by 7% a year, compound annual growth rate. And that extends for at least a decade before 2009. And there was this sort of pervasive culture that to do more, you must spend more. And our first goal was really to kind of do two major things. One was get the federal community to understand that to do more, you don't necessarily have to spend more. The technology can be an incredible lever for savings and efficiency, and by deploying technology smartly, you can actually lower costs. The second was really kind of shifting the needle on people understanding the strategic nature of technology and the role that that plays in government. Now we kind of stand at a new inflection point now that we've achieved really this flat budget over since 2009, that we've got broad brush innovation out there through the digital strategy, cloud, cyber, and other things, in that our renewed focus in building on that momentum needs to really be about effectiveness, really shifting from efficiency and broad innovation to more targeted effectiveness, thinking about what is the mission of these agencies, how are they doing that, and how can we as a community, a federal community, really focus on driving mission success for our customer, the American people. And that's what really what this IT agenda is all about, is really that shift of effectiveness.
And I recently wrote in my reporter's notebook that I think the word of the year from you guys is going to be effectiveness. And I think that it's a key word that vendors, other agencies should keep in mind as they work forward with IT. One of the things you talked about was the shift of here we go, OPEX to CAPEX. Did I get it right?
Yep. Yes.
For once. That seems to starting to happen when you look at the most recent Tech America CIO survey. The fact is still probably too much money from your perspective is being spent on O&M and not enough on DME. But according to Tech America, it was a 10% drop, according to CIOs, year over year, 2013 study to the 2014 study. So what does that tell you?
That, to me, is a key indicator of progress in this space, and really getting people to understand that you must kind of embrace this private sector notion of depreciation in the way we do our business. You know, we don't run our balance sheet like the private sector. It tends to be more of an audit tool and less of a strategic tool. And part of the cultural shift here is getting agencies to really think about their holistic portfolio, their balance sheet, quote, unquote, for their IT portfolio as really this kind of strategic tool to think about how do I take from the old to give to the new? How do I implement smart technology to do things more efficiently? And I was delighted to see that data coming back, because it just tells us the initiatives we set forth to teach agencies that you need to take from that operating expense column and give to that capital expense column to fund new things. That's starting to work and bear fruit.
It's not happening very quickly, and this has been a discussion that I think OMB has been having for more than a decade of we have to spend less on O&M, we have to spend more on DME. why is it taking this long? We can blame the culture change. We can talk about turning the battleship. But is there something more that's systemic that is starting to change?
You had to look at the environment the last few years. We've had these sort of uncertain, a lot of fiscal churn, a lot of pressure on the fiscal front. You've had a lot of cyber pressure, kind of putting pressure on the portfolio, saying, you know, that as you think about investing, you have to focus a lot on being ever vigilant in the cybersecurity front. You also just changing culture is the hardest thing to do in an organization, and an organization the size of the U.S. government was practically not even an organization. It's a sector of the economy. Moving that culture forward is a journey. It's not an instant sort of thing that you just are able to set out a directive and suddenly turn on. And this speaks to really part of this work, which is it's not just me going to a CIO council meeting and saying, okay, CIOs, let's head this new direction. And we have a very collaborative, consensus-based process that we've been running through the CIO council. What this is really about is getting not only the CIOs on board thinking about this inflection change, but also the acquisition officers, the finance people, the human capital people, because it takes all those levers. And then we have to go work with Congress to have them understand that, you know, as we move forward here, this is going to take a new approach to thinking about appropriations, a new approach to thinking about how do we actually move the ball on this agenda.
We're going to come back to Congress because that may be the immovable object in this entire discussion. But when you look back on the 25-point plan a little bit, I'll tell you, I was a little surprised, and I think a pleasant surprise, how much got done or how much is in the process of getting done. I think I counted something like 18 or 20 of the 25 initiatives that are somewhere in the works. Whether nothing's ever completed, we know that in IT, but it's in the they're much further from the starting line than initially thought. It's the Congress one that isn't. But again, I think we'll tag back to that when we talk for Tara. But this is where PortfolioStat, going back to tagging back to what you said regarding this acquisition folks, the finance folks, the program folks, seems to be really showing its worth. I mean, when you are in those sessions, are you getting a sense that people are reacting in a different way? Are the acquisition folks and the CIO listening to the CIO maybe a little more? And maybe listening is not the right word, but hearing them?
Yeah, the thing that it was funny, the very first year we ran portfolio stats, this kind of tenor in the meeting was one of somewhat oversight. It was, you know, OMB's kind of coming in and we're providing some data. We're not really sure how this data is going to be used, and we're having a conversation. And in that first session, that first summer of PortfolioStat, what I really tried to do was really teach agencies how to run an investment review board, something that's very normal in the private sector, which is, what is our mission? What are the outcomes we're trying to drive? And try to wrap data around that so you can actually measure your progress against those outcomes. And then say, what resources do we have to actually get that mission done? And then match those things up. And the toughest conversations come really on the edge, which is, we don't have money to fund this, or there's three or four things here that are sort of on that line of we can't fund versus we can actually go get done with our resources. And that's really where you want the magic to happen. And then you want the conversation to say, are there other things we should be doing creatively across the organization to break down silos? So where we started was the right place to start, which is on commodity computing, just to say, you know, you're running more than one email system. That's sort of unthinkable. You've got 1,000 ways of buying a mobile device. That's just silly. Move to one, you've got not only 999 contracting officers who don't have to write a contract, and you free up their resources, but you also can use your buying power and use your collective weight of that procurement to go get a better price. And we saw that starting to happen. And probably the most powerful mechanism in PortfolioStat in that first wave, and it continues to be a powerful aspect of PortfolioStat, was really using that forum to share best practices across government. For me to go in and say, you know, I've grouped you, Mr. or Mrs. Deputy Secretary, in a collection of other agencies that are of similar size or similar mission scope. Of those five agencies, you're number three or four out of five, or you're number five out of five in this category. That gets their attention, and they go, wow, we could be doing things better because someone else does them better. And it's using that data and making data-driven decisions was how we, you know, really got there. And we went to Congress, asked for appropriations, got a very modest appropriations to build kind of a data capacity, something we originally called IUIT, the Efficient Effective Use of IT, now called ITOR, the IT Oversight and Reform Budget, the two worst acronyms ever, and I didn't create them. This function has created really new muscle for us to go in and really have a data-driven decision framework for having conversations with the agencies, which is really the most powerful thing to do.
Let's just go down that path for a second about the ITOR, IUIT fund. what came from that? I mean, we know the portfolio stat was helped by it, but was there a data analytic platform? Was there a software that you bought? Like, what did you use the money for?
First and foremost, used it for a few people. We got a new kind of person we hired into OMB to work on the team. And those were experts that really knew how to collect and analyze, and in some cases visualize data to take this stuff forward. We also, with that funding, use some software platforms internally to the team to collect that data, to build enhancements to the IT dashboard that we use to analyze this collective data. And then we set forth with that expertise to build key performance indicators, and we use those key performance indicators to then help agencies understand kind of where they are on certain aspects. Now, in this new IT delivery agenda, we're building on top of that momentum to say, now there's also things we need to do, like playbooks and other things to create a framework for when you've got an investment that's a high priority, what are the steps you need to take that we know show success, and start to apply those. And so we're building new KPIs, new data capacity around that, and we very much embraced a kind of agile continuous improvement methodology in the way we're not only doing our work, but building out this team and the capability of it.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is the Federal Chief Information Officer, Steve Van Roekel.
As a manager, you need to know how you can make your organization more efficient. Listen for Management Friday on Federal News Radio. We bring you information on the keystone of success for any agency or business. Friday mornings at 10, listen for AFGE's perspective on inside government. Next at 11, Shaw, Bransford, and Roth talk about the legal implications of management decisions on Fed Talk. And at noon, listen for Fed Access with Derek T. Dort to hear what career options may be available. Management Friday, only on Federal News Radio 1500.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My special guest is Steve Van Roekel, the Federal Chief Information Officer. Talk a little bit about the IT delivery agenda, tag back to the beginning of the conversation. What should someone expect? What should a CIO or an agency program manager expect the benefits from that 6 months from now, 3 months from now, 9 months from now?
The key benefit is, one, we're going to check back on all the prior portfolio stat work, and we're going to make sure that you're still continuing to make good progress there on kind of all the levers of innovation, delivery, cost savings, and cybersecurity, and all the stuff in between. Then on top of that, what we've done in Portfolio Stat 2014, besides getting much clearer about the way we're collecting data so we can do better comparative analysis across the agencies, we're asking for agencies to identify their high-priority mission investments. So if they're citizen-facing or core to the mission of the agency, we want to know what you identify there. Now, we have 7,000 or so investments on the IT dashboard, about 700 of those, 10%. Are deemed as major investments by the agency, self-designated. What I want to know is if we were to take, so call it 20 or 30 investments across government that are the most important, what would that look like? And I'm asking agencies to identify those for me. And on those, what I want to do is really kind of evolve from what has been a very reactive stance through our tech stat process, through the efforts to go in and help agencies after maybe something isn't going as well as it should, to really more of a proactive stance, to get more involved up front. And what agencies can expect is that we're going to help them with playbooks and best practices, and in some cases, if our FY15 budget is realized, this digital service to be able to help them come in and bring expert resources to help analyze and make sure that these things proactively are on track and are kind of following a formula we know succeeds. We're also doing a lot of work, as I mentioned in a recent Senate hearing, to compile our favorite sections of the federal acquisition requirements with case law, case studies around what agencies have used those sections to do things, to do agile procurements, to do things in a more innovative 21st century way. And we've also recently reached out to the vendor community to understand what are barriers to entry for more innovative approaches and innovative companies into government. And on that, what we're looking at is building out a legislative or maybe a regulatory proposal that says, you know, here are common sense things we need to go do to kind of lower some of those barriers to entry and allow more vibrancy to happen in the federal IT space.
I'm looking forward to reading the TechFAR. I have a whole weekend planned out.
Okay.
One of the things you mentioned was really looking at those 20 or 30 programs. Is this happening anywhere else, either in government or outside of government, that you can then say, here's an example of what you should expect? An agency could say, from your experience at Microsoft or your experience at other places, this is how they did it or they are doing it, and this is the model we're going after.
Yeah, the key here is if you go into any private sector company, and what's hard about government is the mission is so diverse across the space. And oftentimes the urgent work will outweigh the important work of really focusing on what am I doing for my customer and how am I waking up every day thinking about that customer. The private sector, it's much more cut and dry in that you have often products that maybe you've established that are kind of sustained products that continue to improve. You've got some new stuff to grow your base and things like that. In the public sector, it doesn't really follow that because of the diversity of the mission set. What we're asking agencies to do is to say, okay, what's my kind of seminal set of key things I need to kind of really put extra oomph behind to focus on, and what are the things we're doing? Now, part of this is we're going to start here. We need to start in a focused way because we need to teach agencies how to get there. I anticipate that over time, what you'll see is that the practices that you bring to bear on these most important things will start to go into the quote-unquote less important things, and will start to scale across. It's our expectation that these playbooks, these formulas, the getting the acquisition community to do things in a more 21st century way will start to pervade into other parts of the organization. But we needed to start somewhere. If we tried to boil the ocean and say, henceforth, all 7,000 IT dashboard investments need to follow this, we wouldn't get anywhere. And you know, we have to think here about focus, you know, what are our incentive structures, how are we lining people up for success and taking them along on this journey to get to where we need to go.
What of this effort, a lot of these changes, how much are they a reaction to both the healthcare.gov challenges, problems, failures, but not just that. That's one of, you go back through the litany of failed programs. How much is that reaction to that, or is it just part of the longer-term goal that was set out, starting with the 25-point plan, moving forward with tech stat, moving forward with portfolio stat? Is this just the next evolution, and it just happens to come at a time when, as you said, there's a great inflection point of looking at yourselves in the mirror a little bit?
I think if you step back and look at the journey we've been on, even before at healthcare.gov or other places, we've been building on momentum, and we've been building on kind of a set of thinking that has evolved and really kind of, we couldn't go from zero to 60 instantly. We needed to kind of rev the engine up, and to rev the engine up, it was about first efficiency, getting the efficiency right, the OPEX, the CAPEX shift, building kind of broad brush innovation, you know, getting the notion of open data out there leads to agile, you know, getting other things out there, building cybersecurity capability. All that stuff is kind of a cumulative effect. What I think has happened with some of these notable projects out there is that it's bringing IT and the role of technology more into the conscious, and people are starting to have discussions about it. I'm having discussions with people that I wasn't having discussions with before. Deputy secretaries and other members in government are really, you know, aware of the role, and they're paying a lot of attention to IT and seeing kind of how that's going and moving kind of that cultural norm from technology being that very discretionary thing to now technology being a strategic thing is what we kind of saw, you know, happening or we're seeing happening coming out of this. Now, the broad pervasiveness of consumer technology, cybersecurity, all these things are sort of, you know, are really moments in which all of these people are also paying a lot of attention to. These are all just elements, I think, of American society and the role that technology is playing being highlighted and our necessity to get it right and to serve our customer in the best way we can.
Would you compare the rise of mobile, the rise of cyber, in some ways very similar, meaning after the VA data breach, that was the big news, you know, kind of back in 2006, 26 million veterans lost their data. That kind of was the wake-up call for government in many respects around cyber. Do you think the mobile revolution, if you will, the smartphone, the tablets, has had the same effect on deputy secretaries and others who maybe normally would be like, oh, that's the IT folks' problem, not mine? Now they're realizing maybe it is my problem because everything is so interconnected.
I think there's kind of two things happening there. One is that a lot of people, because of the rotational nature of government where you have people coming in from another job someplace else, a lot of, you know, with government not really filling that productivity gap, people are, when they're coming from the private sector, saying, and coming into government, or they're coming from an academic institution, or coming even from another government place into the federal government, they maybe had a different experience with their role, the role that technology played. I can tell you, when I came here from Microsoft, it was a very different environment you know, I had helped launch Windows XP in 2001, and I was surprised nearly a decade later when I jiggled my mouse for my first day in the federal government, it was waiting for me again, you know, and things like that. So the role of technology, you know, it was in a lot of what I drove at the FCC was really to kind of bring the agency up to kind of modern standards on the use of technology. And I think we're starting to see that where people just kind of come in with a new cultural norm into government and that introduction. I think that federal employees as well are adopting technology at a pace that is compatible with the rest of society and are now kind of demanding on why doesn't my work have an app for that, or why doesn't what I'm doing, or I could really get more mission results out of this by really being more avant-garde or using Facebook or using other things to reach my customers. And so we're starting to see that phenomenon as well. Cybersecurity is also a wake-up call in this space, as well as, as I mentioned earlier, the fiscal pressure. But one of the key things we often overlook, I think, is the role that our customers play, the citizens. You know, when my parents, who are retirement age, are online every day, my mom's got a smartphone, my dad carries his iPad around and things like that, you've got customers out there, and the baby boomers are connected. You know, over 50% of American adults have a smart device now. We're starting to get pressure from our customers. You know, if they spend their morning on Amazon.com and Facebook and buying airplane tickets online and doing other things and being entertained online and other things, going to a government website isn't as pleasant of an experience. And so they're going to put pressure on us to say, go figure this out. Do a better job to drive your citizen interface, your customer interface in a new direction. And so that pressure is going to, you know, just continue to mount and continue to put an emphasis on us to focus on innovation, customer friendliness, and effectiveness.
We have to take a break. You're listening to a special edition of Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. Our special guest today is the Federal Chief Information Officer, Steve Van Rogel.
So, guess what I just heard?
You mean about the Roth TSP?
Okay, yeah. Well, also,
that bid protest on the DOD contract.
Right. But did you know
who the Senate confirmed for the administrator's job?
Well, what about
OMB's digital strategy?
Jeez. How do you know everything that's going on in the federal government?
I know because I signed up for Federal News Radio's email alerts.
Be in the know and know it first with Federal News Radio's email alerts. Sign up today at federalnewsradio.com. Search email alerts.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. This is a special edition of Ask the CIO. My special guest is Steve Van Rogel, the Federal Chief Information Officer. Let's go back to the Congress question for a second. I want to make sure we touch upon that before we get out of time. Obviously, the Federal IT Acquisition Reform Act, FITARA, has been in the news a lot of discussion on it. It got through the House again as part of the NDAA bill, Defense Authorization Bill. The Senate is having a series of hearings, one that you're at, one that was earlier in the month, regarding the IT workforce that turned into a VA hearing, but that's a whole different story. Talk a little bit about FITARA, because, I mean, the word I keep using is the White House support has been tepid. You seem not to say we need this, but as you know, as I know, the last IT reform really was the E-Government Act of 2003. It's 11 years. You know, that's XP time, and we're in Windows 8 or 9. Or give me a sense of why this tepid response from the White House on FITARA.
First, it's great that Congress is taking this up, and it shows the emphasis on technology, the role of the CIO, the role of a lot, and the potential we have on a lot of this technology thing. The two things that I think you have to remember coming out of any work that we do in the technology space with Congress is, first, you know, technology is moving at a pace that it's hard to legislate. It's hard to really go in and say, we're going to take this in a certain direction when 5 years from now things could have changed. You know, you imagine that cybersecurity 5 years ago was all about defacing websites. Now it's about crime and stealing identities and doing other malicious acts that are much more complex in the way you think about that. And so we have to think about a structure here that is much more compatible, I think, with an environment that's ever shifting and ever evolving. And the second thing is, you can't legislate good management. And a lot of the necessity here, and I think throughout our conversation today, you've heard me really talk not a lot about technology per se, but a lot about how do you run an agency? How do you manage people to think about the role that technology plays and pulling levers across the acquisition, the finance group, the human capital? Everybody needs to be involved and have a seat at the table. And good management is something that I think we, as a community of interest, need to work on getting agencies to move forward on. But it's not something you can legislate.
But at the same time, you can put in legislation what good management looks like. If you look back at the Clinger-Cohen Act, for example, and again, that's almost 20 years old, they do talk about enterprise architecture. They do talk about the role of the CIO having a seat at the table, being involved, the decision-making process. A lot of people will tell you, I mean, if you talk to someone like Paul Brubaker or Mark Forman or even Bill Cohen, the former senator, say that didn't quite happen. And maybe another push, OMB's come up with several memos that over the years that try to reinvigorate the CIO or give him more authority. It just isn't quite there. So what's the next step? Do you believe legislation update is needed, or can everything be done? I think you've talked a little bit before, everything can be done through policy regulation change.
I don't actually think we necessarily need legislation in the space. I think the increasing pressure on the role that technology is playing is going to take us with good management practices, with good policy, is going to take us in the right direction on where we need to go. And so I don't think legislation is necessarily is required to get there. And the other part of it is I think if you do approach legislation, the myriad of the influence needs to be thought through, I think, in a broad brush. Just going in and saying CIOs have a seat at the table, which is very, very important to me and something that not only I promote through Portfolio Stat, but was the first policy memo issued out of my office in my tenure here, was really centered around CIO authorities, and I feel that strongly about it. I wanted to not only send that strong message, but it's something we've reinforced ever since. We need to think about not only kind of the authorizing motion of that CIO sitting in that agency, but also are there financial constraints that we start to wrap around that? Do they have the ability to kind of move budgets in a way or create incentive structures that are going to get things done? Do they have a seat at the table and what's the more centralized role of acquisition in that? Are we doing right by thinking about flexible hiring and other things that in a probably what is the most competitive human capital market in our country, the tech space, are we doing right by that for the federal government? Are we giving that CIO and that leadership team around that CIO the right people to go get the job done? Are we setting up the right kind of companies working with government? Do we have the right processes in place? I mean, it's much more complex than just going in and kind of shifting the way titles are done or just generically giving them a seat at the table, but making that seat at the table more downstream from an appropriations process. We've got to think about it in a more comprehensive way. And I think the structure that Congress has approached this on, sends the right message. It gets to the right themes. It's really the devil's in the details on how do we actually make that happen. I really welcome and look forward to working with Congress on really thinking through this myriad of kind of considerations in that space.
Very nice. Good place to end. We're going to continue the conversation online now at federalnewsradio.com for this online chat. Remember, tune in right after the show is over. Steve, thank you for this interview. Thank you for the time on the online chat. I'm sure you'll get tons of questions from our listeners, so I'll be joining you for that moderation. Steve Enrogel is the federal CIO. Thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear the entire show on our website, Ask the CIO, Thursday mornings at 10:30, only on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM.